This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, welcome back in. We got top stories of the day here. Let's go here. Luka Doncic is set to return from Spain on Friday. His status is still unknown as to whether or not he's going to be available for the first round or any of the first round. He's returning to Los Angeles later this week after spending the last week in Spain, according to Dave McMenamin. Ew, that's a tough one. Where he received multiple injections for his grade 2 left hamstring strain. I don't have anything in here in America to... Spain's the place to go, huh?
Yeah, why does Christian McCaffrey go to Germany? Are they getting, like, those illegal things?
Doesn't that make you wonder? Because when you hear that they're not doing it here, what are they getting?
The steroid stem cells.
Yeah, I don't know. The number 4 seeded Lakers host the number 5 seeded Houston Rockets in game 1 of their first round playoff series Saturday night. The Lakers have not provided a timeline for Luka's return to the lineup other than ruling him out for the remainder of the regular season after he suffered the injury April 2nd against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That guy can't catch a break. I mean, he caught a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I don't feel bad for the guy necessarily. I kind of do, actually. He's going through a messy split up and dealing with his kid. And
yeah, you don't want that. You want other stuff like him missing a bunch of free throws and sucking.
Yeah, that would be fine. But I can't help but kind of like Luka. I know he's part of the problem. He complains to the officials, but there still is a part of me that likes to watch him play basketball. And I would like to watch him play basketball and lose because I'm rooting for the Houston Rockets in that series. Zero question about it. Although, who could give the Thunder the best matchup problems? Who could potentially force a game 7 that might be a healthy Lakers team? Nike's trademark filing for Bronny James, not LeBron James, Bronny James, B9. B9. Get it, Mike? Benign? B9? Logo denied. What does benign mean, Michael?
The opposite of malignant. Malignant is
bad. I'm asking what
benign is good.
But doesn't benign mean it's nothing? Because it's nothing. The results came back and they were benign.
Well, but benign, like you can have a tumor that's benign,
which means
that would mean non-cancer.
It's not bad, right? It's not effective. It's not going to mess with you. Isn't benign?
Well, I mean, it would still affect with you if it was a benign tumor, but it's not cancerous.
Right, but doesn't that mean it's not as strong?
Yeah, it would.
So if I were to benign, say, benign if I were is, to say you were benign, would you take that as a compliment?
I would take that as a fact.
But would you take it as a compliment of any sort? Is it like a brand?
As a fact.
You know, Michael's not great or bad. He's just kind of benign.
Yeah, he's kind of benign.
Do you want? Is that something that you would like want to put on your stuff? I'm benign. Yeah.
On my tombstone, I would just put pizza.
He's neither
good. It would be a great pun.
Neither good nor bad. He's just benign. Nike's trademark application for Bronny James B9 logo, I don't know if that's what he was going for, has been refused because of a likelihood of confusion with an already registered mark. According to the United States Patent and Trademark Office documents, the USPTO turned down the application because examining attorney P. Scott Craven deemed the logo too similar to the B9 logo created by Back 9 Golf Apparel. a company out of Austin, Texas. Both B9 markings were filed for clothing and apparel usages. So, okay, maybe he's not going for that. But when I first saw it, I was like, B9. Okay, that's funny, kind of. Iowa will have to vacate 4 victories from the 2023 season for tampering with quarterback Cade McNamara before he entered the transfer portal, the NCAA announced Tuesday. They said that Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz and assistant John Budmeier participated in 13 phone calls with the quarterback and sent 2 text messages prior to him entering the portal in November of 2022. McNamara left Michigan. That's how you say it. My gosh. He left Michigan a few days later and transferred to Iowa. I can't read today. It's driving me crazy. Iowa said in a statement, Iowa President Barb Wilson and Athletic Director Beth Goetz said they are disappointed in the ruling. We're very disappointed in today's ruling by the Committee of Infractions. Throughout this nearly 2.5-year process, the university has fully cooperated with the NCAA enforcement staff. More importantly, when the facts revealed that violations had taken place, the institution and the head coach publicly accepted full responsibility and self-imposed several significant sanctions, something few others have done. We believe the decision of adding the penalty of the forfeiture of wins is unwarranted. The matter is now closed and we have to move forward. You don't get a pass just because you suspended yourself. You could have sanctions, but you don't get a pass just because you admitted that you did it. Sorry, we did do that, and you know what, coach? I don't even know what they did. I don't even know what they did, like suspended him or fined him or something. No, we still make the rules. That's great that you owned it, and that's great that you self-imposed some penalties, but that's not it. You know, this is a big, 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 big issue, and this is what we're actually trying to fix in college sports, so this is a big one. And if we catch you, hopefully you're in trouble.
I think the admission and the self-imposition of penalties, I think that is them saying, don't punish us as much.
That's why, I mean, UNC did it. UNC did it after the, you know, their old coach before Jeff Linder, Coach Hill, they did it. They self-imposed a few things, and the NCAA still said, we're going to vacate your entrance into March Madness. It's not going to exist anymore.
I don't care what the NCAA says. I was at the board when that happened. I remember it. So screw the NCAA. It happened.
I am all over the place when it comes to vacating wins. I used to be really against it because it happened. You know, the game happened. But if you cheated to get so-called players and they wouldn't have been on your team otherwise, or they shouldn't have been on your team because you did something illegal, like you tampered with them. I don't know. I don't know. I honestly have a pretty strong opinion on most things, Michael, but that's one of them where I'm kind of more like, I get it. I kind of get it. I mean, it sucks for UNC that they don't have that entrance anymore, but kind of is what it is.
I mean, there should be 2 types of wins. There should be a win, and there should be a win with an asterisk. And UNC's
game with an asterisk
because they didn't win that. They were down by like 5 at the half.
All right,
but that game should have an asterisk next to it, not it never happened.
Faith is coming in here after our segment about WNBA. I didn't get to these. Oh, she's coming in late. Let's find it. I love all sports. I'll watch anything. May not understand it, but we'll watch it. I love the competition aspect. Watch the draft, but I do love women's basketball. NBA, wine as well. Why is wanting to be paid what one feels they are worth considered whining? I don't know if we were talking about that necessarily, if you were saying that that was what they were whining about, right? I don't think you were saying they were whining about money. Although they're not making much money in the WNBA, so it is kind of... I just wonder if the league's going to exist if they're giving away that much money to their players when they're really not bringing in that much money.
No, the reason they exist is because the NBA exists.
Correct.
That's why they exist.
Gives them money.
Look, I've watched a portion of a WNBA game. It was on while I was at a pizza place that I liked. There no longer exists a pizza place. Nobody.
Is that because they were showing WNBA games?
Nobody was watching.
Is that pizza place gone because they were showing WNBA games?
It was just a...
Let me read
nobody
more of this.
Was watching the game at the stadium. Like, nobody was, there was no crowd.
But facing, is it whining if male athletes do it? No, it's still whining. It's just, again, like I said earlier, when you see Anthony Edwards just do an earth-shattering dunk, you kind of forget that he was just whining to the ref a little bit ago. You know what I mean? You see Joker do the Sombor shuffle on the tallest man that's, you know, in the NBA, one of the tallest humans I've ever watched play basketball. You kind of forget that Joker was holding his hands out like, come on, refs, come on. Like, you kind of forget about that stuff. She says, it doesn't make one bad if they don't watch it. I just feel all sports have whining. You're right. They all sports do. But when we say, like, wide receiver is a diva.
Yes.
You don't enjoy seeing that wide receiver pull down a one-handed grab and just muscling his way into the end zone?
Yeah, you can't. Look, we forgive divas if they, I hate to say it, have earned it. And you shouldn't be a diva.
Are you worth more than your baggage?
You know, there were plenty of running backs who were divas out there. And then there was Barry Sanders who earned the right to be a diva.
Right.
And guess what? He wasn't.
No, I just... Faith says, if someone had a daughter who loved the game and played, would you feel differently? I don't, like, feel any kind of way about somebody if they are a WNBA fan. Like, that's... You're like the, ugh, I hate soccer and you're a bad person. I'm not like that. If you like sports...
No, the WNBA
and you
is a sport.
Are into different sports, I don't necessarily make fun of you on that. I'm giving you the facts. Like, the league is not strong financially. And my whole point was with the commissioner coming out and taking a sexist approach or saying that the reporter was taking a sexist approach, which was a female reporter.
That makes it the league even weaker.
And that's what
bothers
me.
That's a bad attitude.
I don't like bad attitudes even if your league is rocking right now. Like Roger Goodell, Kyle Shanahan's not crazy. Where are the 49ers playing first game? They're going where?
I forget. Somewhere not America.
Kyle Shanahan's not crazy about it. And like Roger Goodell's like basically, oh, tough it up. You'll be good. Don't worry about jet lag. You know? Like that bothers me, but the league is so strong that it doesn't, I don't think about it. I won't think about it probably in a week or two. Probably won't think about it tomorrow. No, Faith, you got it. I mean, I'm not saying like I belittle people for watching a sport that I don't watch. Like Tanner's texting me on Saturday, dude, you got to watch the UFC. It's on TBS tonight. There's this guy. He's like Macho Man Randy Savage and stuff. And I was like, because I was an old school WCW guy. I don't watch it anymore. So I'm like, okay, I could watch that. Or there's baseball on or there's something on that I'll watch. I'm just more likely to watch football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I'm more likely to watch those four sports than I am anything else. Save for special occasions.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people that likes the WNBA, good on you. That's fine. I just think that there aren't enough people out there who support it to make those athletes to allow them to be whiny like that. And honestly, if you're going to be whiny, at least have a good point. She didn't have a good point. She had a terrible point.
Faith, are you saying you did understand her point or didn't? I did understand her point. I've never heard Silver or Goodell get asked when they are going to retire or thoughts on it. I would wager that Adam Silver and Roger Goodell have received way more negative media than this NBA commissioner has received in her entire life. They've probably received it in one day.
Did she get booed at all last night?
Goodell gets booed all the time, and people want him gone. People want the MLB commissioner gone. I mean, people like me want Adam Silver gone. I don't agree. Faith says the commissioner had the right to fire back. How is that sexist, though? How is that like, do you ask men the same thing? How many times, Faith, have Kansas City Chiefs reporters asked Andy Reid when he was going to retire? I mean, that's the thing we do. You have somebody that's been in power that long. I'm sure if Roger Goodell hasn't been asked, how much longer do you want to do this? I would be shocked. And if that's not the case, then there you go. You got me on that one. But I know for a fact Andy Reid has been asked that. I know Sean Payton has been asked that. How long do you want to do this? Tanner and I were at a UNC press conference where a soccer coach came out, and the very first question from a Tribune reporter that I'm pretty sure shouldn't be in sports, she's not there anymore, by the way, because I love Ann Delaney, who's doing sports and all that stuff at the Tribune, and her first question was not about the team or anything. It was, hey, you've been coaching longer than I've been alive. Do you think you'll retire soon? That was a female reporter to a man. So I was like in the room when that happened. I didn't think sexist. I thought that's a silly question to ask on the opening season press conference kind of thing.
Was that the very first question?
That was the very first question. Because do you
think
Tanner
covered sports?
Do you think Tanner had any questions about soccer in that moment?
It's got to be like question number five.
Faith says getting booze, yeah, but has he been asked in interviews about retiring? I would dare you to try to find it. I bet it's out there. I bet Roger Goodell has been asked that before. He didn't say it was sexist, but she still had the right to fire back if that's what she felt. But how did she feel that? How is that sexist? I mean, we had Bruce Dick in here just a little bit ago, Mike. Did I not just ask him? Like, I'm not sure how much longer you're going to do. How long are you going to do coaching? I just don't think it was just bizarre, and it doesn't do the league any favors. It came off as defensive, and you were offended by someone daring to ask if a human being would ever quit doing a job that they were doing. When history shows, other than one person, we're all going to be done doing our job at one point. We're all going to be forced to retire, or we get to retire of our own accord. HVAC guy responding to the CU Buff stuff. A little insider info from a guy who lives and works in Boulder. Old timers like me, and there are zillions of us, were over the prime crap quite a while ago. But the students, which is half the population of Boulder through the school year, they love him. We are still reliving the Coach McCartney days. Well, according to Sean Keeler's Denver Post article, he talked to a bunch of students that were kind of like, the shine is worn off a little bit. And maybe it has. I think it has. Mark Johnson told us yesterday that he was basically no different from any other coach. He's saying, you know, what happens? You get a new coach, and then what happens? Is Coach Prime going on his fourth year, Michael? Is this his fourth year coming up? They had the 4-win year, the 9-win year, and then last year was the 3-win year. Yeah, it's his fourth year. And Mark basically downgraded Coach Prime to basically being, yeah, he's subject to being on the hot seat like everybody else. And that was something that nobody really believed was going to be possible unless he was really, 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 really bad. And he hasn't been awful. He's had one good season and two bad seasons, although he gets a pass for the first season because it was a 3-win improvement, which I still think is odd because it's a completely different team. You flip the entire roster, so those are your guys. Anyway, so Michael, do you remember the panel that was trying to figure out whether or not the NFL was colluding in the negotiation of contracts of Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson? Remember that story that came out? And we all went through the paperwork there, and it was like, it's like really, really close, but it just doesn't sound like it's quite there. The panel rules against the NFLPA, says not enough proof of collusion. It was a 3-person appeals panel on Friday, upheld an arbitrator's decision that there wasn't sufficient evidence of collusion by teams when negotiating the contracts of Kyler Murray, Jackson, and Wilson in 2022. The panel found that teams were being invited to participate in collusion by the NFL and called the effort improper. It did rule that there wasn't enough evidence to prove teams took part in the collusion. It was like as close as you can get to collusion as you could possibly get without actually being collusion, maybe.
And so, one of those quarterbacks is a good quarterback. Two of them overpaid.
Well, it started because of the Deshaun Watson contract. You know, the Browns freaked out and gave Deshaun Watson everything, and that scared everybody. So then they're like, okay, we need to talk about how we're dealing with quarterbacks going forward, gang. Which, again, does get you close to that collusion. Because a collusion is basically me saying, Michael, can we all agree that we're not going to give a quarterback $60 million? Can we all, hands up, can we all agree on that? That's collusion. So it was kind of like, wink, wink, let's just make sure we're not getting too crazy, okay, guys? Let's not, you know, we know the market right now. Let's just kind of try to stay within that market.
You know, there's a difference between you, me, and Tanner having a conversation and you, me, and at a restaurant just like screwing around, and then you, me, and Tanner having a conversation and writing things down and coming up with, you know, solutions. Like, that's collusion. Maybe these were restaurant conversations.
Yeah, they weren't like full on everybody signing an agreement to not give quarterbacks this certain amount unless we all agree.
Yeah, it sounds that. More like, oh, I'm tired of this. Oh, I'm tired of this too. Man, I wish this could happen. Yeah, I wish this could happen too.
I don't think it. I think it was close, but New York Times scrutinizing reporter Ruzzini, Diana Ruzzini's coverage and the nature of her relationship with New England Patriots coach Mike Vrabel amid questions raised about the two this week. Sources familiar with the matter told ESPN on Friday. The New York Post on Tuesday published photos that appeared to show Ruzzini embracing and interlocking fingers. We all know that story. Other photos appeared to show Ruzzini and Vrabel together in and around the resort's pool. There were other pictures now gone viral of them at a bar, too. The Athletics executive director, Steven Ginsburg, initially issued a public defense of Ruzzini and said that the matter had been taken out of context. Front Office Sports first reported Friday that The Athletic decided to reinvestigate. You know why, Michael? Because both are maintaining that other people were around. And we have not heard from the other people that were around. So they're saying that it was more of a get-together, more of a party, more of a hangout. And we weren't the only ones there. The cameras just show us kind of off scene, I guess. But even if there were other people there, you guys were far enough away where clearly a wide shot picture didn't show anybody there. And you're holding hands. It's a weird look, man. It's a weird look. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, it. I don't know. It doesn't seem there's no proof of an affair, but like the way they were holding hands was a little suspicious. A little suspicious.
Then sitting poolside.
Yeah, I mean they could have been talking, you know, business and stuff. But boy, they did. I don't know. It just when you're in certain positions, you kind of have to be cognizant of things like that, and
you do, you just do.
I don't know.
You gotta be careful.
It's just they weren't thinking, and either they were doing things in the bedroom, or they just weren't thinking.
Yeah. Wow, you said it. You just said it.
Can I? Maybe they were. Maybe they weren't.
Can I say something too? Can I say this is off topic? Are you worried about Bo Nix?
No.
Playing like not being healthy next year.
He'll be fine.
Is it? We've already been told he's ahead of schedule. And he's fine. Jim Nance was on with Pat McAfee, and they like did breaking news. You know, Jim Nance saw Bo Nix walking around, and he's very optimistic that Bo's going to be fine. I saw a reporter that I really respect post something after Bo was leaving the hospital with his newborn baby. Like, good news, he's walking. Guys, stop. Stop. He's fine. Nobody has given you any reason to believe he's not going to be ready for OTAs or training camp, let alone game one of the regular season. Can we stop? Like, this is not a topic. This is not a topic. If you see Bo Nix walking, if any of the hooligans happen to be around Denver or wherever Bo is actually living, I don't know if he's actually living in Denver. If you happen to see Bo walking, do not take pictures of it. And do not post that, hey, he looks really good walking. Stop it. Because nobody's given you any indication. If you see him in a walking boot, snap that picture and sell it to TMZ for $1 million. But don't snap pictures of the dude walking around. Or if you see him walking, please don't report it. Oh, good news. Bo Nix is walking. He's fine. Sean Payton's told you that. Even though we had ankle gate. Bo Nix has told you that. Doctors have told you that. The Broncos have told you that. Greg Penner has told you that. George Payton has told you that. So let's put that one to rest. Let's crumple it up and just put it in the trash. Because Bo Nix is fine. You're trying to make a story that's not a story. 29 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Matchups between the T-Wolves and the Nuggets. Why do the Nuggets have the edge, and just how much of an edge do they have? Give me what's happening in this series. Nuggets sweep? Nuggets in five? Let me know. I want to hear from you on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043.
Dirty 30.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Did you just Rickroll the audience, Mike?
They're rolling in laughter.
It's Rickrolling, man. It's just a good song. But why did it get to the point where we use it as a make fun of thing? Like, it's a good song.
I think it's one of those situations where, like, it's one of those songs people don't want to admit that they like.
I've always admitted I like that song. That's just a great song.
By the way, he's got a new one that I think is really good. It's
Find
called,
it. Find it. Find it and play it in the second.
Waiting on You.
Find
his
it.
New one.
Find it and play it in the final hour.
It's not great.
Find
music.
It. I don't. Well, I just play it. You don't have to. Not everything has to be bumper busy. You just play it. Just randomly play it.
Okay.
We will evaluate.
I will play it.
We will review it. How are we feeling about this Timberwolves Nuggets series coming up, Hooligans? Michael likes the Nuggets to sweep.
I'm saying the Nuggets sweep because you're so worried about
them. I'm not worried about them, Mike. I'm telling you about the better matchups that would be more beneficial for an easy series. History.
Oh, I'm so afraid of them. Oh,
what's the record going to be for the Broncos next year? What's the record going to be for the Broncos next year?
You know.
Shut up then. Because I bring logic to sports. That's what I do here. And I'm not going to get. You, Hooligans, you deserve better than that. To have me come on here and say the Nuggets are going to win game one, they're going to win game two, they're going to win game three, they're going to win game four, then in the next series they're going to win game one, they're going to... That's not realistic, guys. So Michael likes to bend my, oh, what's the better matchup for the first round so the Nuggets can get through it faster and be more fresh for the second series. It's called strategy, bro, and when you're looking at it, you want to assess who gives you the best shot of an easy, breezy, beautiful round exit, not exit, advancement. And that probably would have been the Houston Rockets. Am I scared of the Timberwolves? No. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. We will be doing picks on Friday for the game on Saturday, but I will also give you my series pick. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
So we're giving the series pick today.
No.
And you're waiting till Friday.
You guys can. You're saying the Nuggets sweep. Text me right now.
They clean the place.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What is this series going to look like? Do the Nuggets lose the series? Are we going to see another epic game 7 where the Nuggets are up by 20? And I don't even want to say it out loud. I don't want to say it out loud. Now, the Timberwolves are kind of limping into this series. Anthony Edwards missed 11 of the regular season's final 14 games with right knee issues and injury maintenance. But let's face it, man. The Timberwolves, they've been to the last two Western Conference Finals. I said this yesterday. Not only do I feel like the Anthony Edwards MVP window, now he's freaking young, but he was all the rage. Kind of 2 years ago, and then a little bit last year, not so much this year. The injuries have certainly been a part of that. But he's on the outside looking in, and I put him in the whole show pressure cooker yesterday, saying he's got to find a way to get himself back into these deep MVP conversations. But the same can be said about the Timberwolves. They were in the Western Conference Finals against the Thunder last year. They were in the Western Conference Finals against the Mavericks the year before that. And yet it doesn't feel like the Timberwolves are in that window anymore. You know, they lost to the Mavericks 4-1 in the series, and they lost to the Thunder 4-1 in the series last year. So they're not exactly where they want to be at this stage. Now, if they find a way to beat the Denver Nuggets, suddenly those talks are opening wide up, opening wide back up. But I think that there's a lot of stress going on with Minnesota, because remember when the Timberwolves took out the Nuggets, they still had Karl Anthony Towns, and now they still have Big Rudy Gobert, but Julius Randle is taking on that power forward role, and he's good. 21 points a game, about 7 boards per game, 5 assists per game. He's good. Dosumu is the one to watch out for coming off the bench for Minnesota. That guy helped Minnesota kind of stay above water, allow them to get into the playoff picture and not the play-in. He averaged 14 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, 3.6 assists. They're very good off the bench, too, because they have Naz Reid, who is a prime candidate for Sixth Man of the Year, getting way more nods than our guy, Tim Hardaway Jr. This isn't like a nothing series. I'm scared. I'm just not taking it lightly. I mean, the Nuggets have dealt with injuries too, but they've started to get healthy at this stage. Fortunately, and it seemed unfortunate at the time, but fortunately, the Nuggets maybe got a lot of that stuff out of the way. Minnesota, I mean, there for a moment, a week or two ago, they had their entire starting dudes listed as out, and it was a legitimate out, not like the Nuggets Spurs out that we saw on Sunday. I think there's a lot of X factors in this game. I'll tell you, Sean Keeler wrote a story about this in the Denver Post. We'll certainly be talking to him about this tomorrow. But it's going to be a battle of benches, too. I mean, you got Dosumu and Naz Reid, studs off the bench for Minnesota. Tim Hardaway Jr. coming off the bench, I think, could make a strong case for Sixth Man of the Year. When I look at the other candidates, the numbers are much better. But that is going to be another little side quest in this series, is whose bench is better. And that was what this move in the offseason was all about for Denver. Move Michael Porter Jr., who is at this time clearly better than Cam Johnson, clearly better than anybody coming off that bench. But the idea was you get rid of him, you make room, so you're better in the aggregate. So you have much better players, 1 through 8 instead of 1 through 4. And we're about to find out if that truly works in these playoffs. What would be considered a disappointing season for Denver? First round exit for sure. Major disappointment. Like, major. Second round loss, would that be considered a disappointment? I mean, it's going to be up against one of the favorites. The Thunder and the Spurs were, I believe it was the Thunder and the Spurs throughout the course of the year that were 1-2. Maybe the Spurs came on later, but either way, they were both picked over Denver.
The Nuggets started off really hot. And then they got all these injuries.
And then
now
they're
going into the playoffs hot.
12 wins in a row.
So I'm saying if you don't win the championship, should be the favorites. You should be the favorites.
Over the Thunder?
Yes. They had all these injuries in the middle of the season.
You're doing your thing again.
They probably would have won those games.
I'm telling you for a fact, the Thunder are favored to win over the Nuggets. I'm telling you, they are favored. And you think that the Nuggets should. It would be a disappointment.
They're favored because it's the Nuggets and nobody likes them.
It's not that. It's the Thunder are a great basketball team. They're a great basketball team. They're a full basketball team. You talk about a bench. I'm telling you that. And you still think it would be a disappointment if they lose to the Thunder.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm probably not that far off, to be honest with you. I'm arguing with you, but I mean, you're in the Jokic window. Every year you don't win a title, which is every year but one, is considered a disappointing season. And you made all these moves. You fired your coach with 3 games remaining in the season. You fired your GM with 3 games remaining in the season. You hired 2 new guys to come in and basically be the double team GM duo in the offices of Tenzer and Wallace. You went with David Adelman. You traded Michael Porter Jr. which a lot of Nuggets fans still weren't crazy about. You traded him, and you got a bunch of other dudes, and Cam Johnson, I think, has been better, and he could be an X factor too. But he hasn't. He hasn't been Michael Porter Jr. offensively. Defensively, better, but he hasn't been MPJ. So there were a lot of moves in the last year that have led you to this moment right here that are either going to make Josh Kroenke and company look like geniuses, or we're going to wonder if they should have made all those moves at that time. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe more people are inclined to believe that they would have just continued to go down and they would be more like a play-in team if Michael Malone was still the head coach. And if they didn't trade MPJ, if they would have kept him on, would we see the same? I'm curious, man. I can't wait. I cannot wait till Saturday. 42 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, you know, we're talking about, like, has the shine worn off with Coach Prime and the Buffs? Well, they just landed a pretty significant recruit. Andre Adams, a four-star quarterback, has committed to the Colorado Buffaloes. He had two programs in mind, Colorado and Kentucky, with both getting late visits before his decision. So that's a big get. It's a big get for the Buffs, Mike. But we feel like for the first time ever now, right? All the stuff that comes with Coach Prime is maybe starting to wear a little thin. That maybe, I mean, he likes to talk. He does. He likes to talk. He likes to say how they're building, how they're growing, how they got a bunch of great guys. It just gets to the point where now it's like we talk about with players and dealing with the stuff that comes with some of these players and athletes. Is it annoying? I'm just asking the question. When you're not winning football games on a regular basis, does it get to the point where it's kind of just annoying? Because you do a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking that's going on over there in Boulder, and not a lot of, you know, putting up. Not a lot of showing out and winning consistent football games. They had the one good year, and that was awesome. That was exciting. And Travis Hunter, of course, you had a Heisman winner in Travis Hunter. And that was a blast. And Shedeur Sanders was a phenomenal, a great quarterback. Let me say great, not phenomenal. Certainly not retiring a number worthy. But all that stuff that has taken hold over the last several years starts to get, I think, a little more difficult to take. And this is going to be the year, Mike. What is the limit? Do you see Coach Prime getting fired if he does not succeed next year, Mike?
No.
You seriously don't?
I say is next year year four?
I think it's year four. Yeah, I think next year's year four.
Okay. They'd let him ride out his contract.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think there is pressure on Deion Sanders, but I do think that they would let him finish his contract. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's wrap up hour number one coming, or hour number two, Michael. Hour number two. We got the whole show pressure cooker coming up. And tight ends in this NFL draft. Are the Broncos going to get some help when it comes to that critical position? We'll be right back.
Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up, we got the whole show pressure cooker. The Rockies back at it tonight. They were off yesterday. They got swept against San Diego. Six wins still, Mike. We need 24 dubs to get rid of these beards and cut the hair. The Dirty 30 rolls on. Final hour of the show coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.